This is Outside the Round with Matt Barile, a Rage Rowdy podcast.
My man, Mason Ramsey. Dude, it's good to meet you in the flesh, brother. Thank you. How are you doing on this fine Monday evening?
I'm doing very well, very well. How about you?
Doing well, dude. Life's good. I was on the road this weekend, and it feels good to be back in Nashville. What have you been up to? What was your weekend like?
Well, I've been in the process of writing this week. I'm working on a new project that we have planned for 2025.
Heck yeah.
So I've been writing and just, you know, hanging out with some friends and stuff. But I go back on tour, I believe, Wednesday, I think. Thursday? I don't know. Somewhere awesome. There. But yeah.
That's cool, dude. That's wild. So you're from the Midwest. Is it Kentucky? Is it Indiana?
Illinois.
Excuse me. I knew it was one of those Midwestern states. I get them all kind of confused. You know, the Midwest.
I don't blame
you. Yeah, dude. The Midwest is a fun area, and Illinois is a fun spot. You get a lot of country elements up there, but you get a mix of like where you got a couple big cities, but you go out and it's nothing for a long way. That seems like that's where you're from, right?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much everything past like Springfield and below is nothing but like cornfields.
Yeah,
and I mean, in kind of in between Chicago and Springfield as well. I feel like most of the state is just like that, cornfield type stuff. But yeah, we're just kind of me and my little town. We're just kind of isolated from everything else in the world because we got our own like little area. And actually. We're the deer capital of Illinois.
The deer capital of Illinois. Yes. So very popular this time of year.
Yes. It is hunting season right now, so it's pretty popular.
Heck yeah, that's awesome. Coming from Illinois, now grew up in such a small town. Obviously, your life changed quite a bit a few years back. Mm-hmm. What was it like getting to experience all these different things? You're from a small town. How many people are in your small town? What's the name of your small town?
So, from 2010 to 2020, the population of Golconda has went down 50 people.
Okay.
So now we're at 700.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's slowly getting smaller, but, she's still there. I mean, there's not a whole lot that goes on around Golconda. I mean, you got a gas station, a couple of grocery stores and a bar and some restaurants, there's really just not a whole lot going on. Everyone else tends to go to either Harrisburg or Paducah to do their shopping or, you know, whatever it is that they might need, which Harrisburg's like 30 minutes from us, and then Paducah is only like 45. So.
Oh, nice. Okay.
But yeah.
But you've gotten to go all over. You go all over the world.
Yeah, I mean, I've...
Is it crazy looking back now? Because you put out your first record in 2018 and you have all that stuff happen. Like, and you're what at that point? You're like 10, 11 years
11.
Old? You're 11, 11 years old. Mm-hmm. Most kids at 11 years old are excited for this time of year for Santa coming to town or their church league basketball game, which I'm sure you're excited about those things too at 11.
I mean, yeah.
But for all of that, what was it like?
So, I mean, just getting out to you know, go to places and perform and, you know, just getting the opportunity to go to places like Coachella, Stagecoach, The Ellen Show, GMA, all these places from all parts of the country. I mean, it's just so amazing to me just thinking back and really just looking back on everything that I've done. You know, in the moment, I was a kid at the time, and everything was just kind of happening to me, and I was just having fun, because you know I didn't really think of what I did as fame. I just thought of it as music and something that I've always loved doing. And I think looking back now, it's just really cool to see everything that I've gotten to do.
Yeah, and to see you grow from that into this crooner, into this different style, to where it's unique, and you know what a Mason Ramsey song
Absolutely.
Sounds like, because you're young and you're getting to be around all these guys that were at the top of the chain at that time, the FGL boys, Ernest, all those guys, and you're recording these songs, but now to be a part of where you're writing your own stuff and you're getting to have more of a say in it now being 17, what's all that been like?
Oh, man. a dream come true. You know, a couple months ago, actually, I just finished a big project, which was my very first album. You know, I'd spent a lot of time, you know, perfecting my writing and just my ability to songwrite, and not just that, but connecting with other people around Nashville and maybe different areas, like in California or, you know, wherever it was I had to write, but just getting to know people like in their experience in the business and how they did it. I feel like, you know, I've just had so much fun getting to know people and just songwriting and just watching my ability to songwrite overall has just been really awesome and amazing.
Yeah, getting to tell the stories of a teenage kid.
Absolutely.
But you're like an old soul, dude. I feel like you've always been that way from the first time that the world got to know you, singing songs from decades before you or I were born to now, like even the style from this latest project that you've put out. Like there's so many elements of, do you feel that old soul thing?
I definitely do. So I was raised by my grandparents, and I think that had a lot to do with it, just how I was raised, the type of music that I listened to. I grew up on Hank Williams Sr. music, so if that doesn't tell you anything, I mean, but yeah, so that's all I knew for about 11 years, I mean, that kind of, the whole... Roy Orbison stuff didn't come till like I was like 13, 14. So that's whenever I like branched out into the more of the rock and roll, 60s rock type of music. And I discovered that, and I found that I really liked it. And I just wanted to do some of that. And I feel like now that I have the opportunity to do that, I really took advantage of it. And just I've been, you know, trying to bring that sound back.
Yeah.
It was very hard to find people that kind of did that sound here in Nashville, because it was very commercial country, is some would say.
You came up in an interesting era. You got brought here in a very interesting time to where it was that commercialization, that term, that bro country, which I still love all that stuff. But it seems like right now there's been this like neo-traditional movement. Like the town has kind of hopped in, or part of the town has hopped in this time machine back to that Roy Orbison, Hank Sr., George Jones era that you love so much.
Yeah, I mean, it was great music. You know, music back then, I feel like, you know, it was so simple. And I feel like now sometimes people may try and do what the older guys did back then, and it just doesn't feel the same. And so, I mean, I try and, you know, just find the roots of the music and go from there. For instance, I mean, Elvis is a great example.
Yeah.
You know, he picked songs that he liked and made them his, and I feel like with my ability to write, it just makes it that much better for me.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's a great way to look at it. And he embraced a culture. Like so many people, I didn't know a ton about Elvis. I knew that my grandparents, my great-grandparents loved Elvis. I'd see the pictures on their walls and stuff. But like the Elvis movie and things like that, I feel like just overall there's been a shift in people really appreciating that culture from decades ago. And absolutely. I feel like your latest album release reflects that.
Yes. Yes, I try to do something a little bit different than the commercial country stuff, and it's working out for me. So
yeah.
I'm super happy from all the support that I've got from my management, my team, the Atlantic Records, the fans. Everyone's support has been really awesome.
Yeah, what was it like being so young and having fans and like doing a meet and greet as like an 11, 12 year old kid, like at a club? Like, were you doing like clubs like honky tonks, or were you doing like theaters, or was it like a little mix of? Cause it's crazy to me, because I've spent time out on the road doing like the tour manager thing and gone to different clubs in like podunk towns or in bigger markets like Charlotte, Atlanta, wherever. What was it like, those venues that you were? What venues were you playing back in the day?
I was doing a lot of college towns, college bars.
Which isn't that crazy to say out loud?
Yeah. But that's where that's my market. So
right?
I mean, you know,
yeah.
They really did enjoy it, and they loved having me, and you know, I loved singing for them, and you know, I think we're gonna try and to go back to some of those places next year. So.
Yeah, and now cool. You're closer to that age where you're the same age as these kids that are in these college towns and stuff.
I know. That's so wild, though. Just, like, you know, them seeing me at 11 and now me being their age going to
yeah, and it's
those
new,
places.
And it's, and it's new kids that are picking up on this new stuff that you're putting out.
Absolutely.
I think that's the best part.
Yeah, I mean, that is really cool to think about.
Yeah, it's wild, man. It is wild. So tell me about what inspires you to do a Christmas project. Merry Christmas, baby. One of my all-time favorite Christmas songs, by the way. That's a hammer. That's
well,
a hit.
Thank you. Well, we got a lot of requests to do a Christmas project over the internet and stuff. And, you know, I mean, I'd been looking into it a little bit and stewing on it. You know, I had a couple of singles... Christmas singles that I'd put out, well, one I put out last year, and then like 5 or 6 years ago I did White Christmas, but I thought it'd be kind of cool to do a little Christmas project for the fans and
yeah.
stuff, and you know, I've got Merry Christmas Baby on there, which is one that I was scrolling through a list of Christmas songs, and
there's a lot of Christmas
there's
songs.
There's a lot of Christmas songs, and this one by Otis Redding came up, and I was blown away. I really liked it, and I wanted to cover it and make it my own. So
yeah, you don't realize how many Christmas songs there are. So in a past life, I worked at a radio station, and it was an adult contemporary radio station. Its moniker was Today's Hits, Yesterday's Favorites, Magic 98.3. But around this time of year, and it gets early, they might already be doing it this time of year, they switched to Jersey's Christmas station, and it's nothing but Christmas songs for like a month and a half. And some people love it, some people don't, but working at that station, you don't realize how many freaking Christmas songs there are.
Oh my goodness.
Like, there's a ton. There's a ton. So how do you narrow down to pick six? Is there six? It's six on there, right? I think it's six, right? Yeah, it is six.
Yeah, six. So I don't remember because we did this back in July. So if you imagine me singing Christmas
in
song,
July, I love
yeah,
it. Yeah,
singing these songs in July, it's something else.
Yeah.
It really is. Not only that, we just did a music shoot for all the songs. So, doing that was really cool. We did that early October, I believe. I gotta say, it was very cool. And you know, I cut these songs live, so they're all one takes all the way through. We picked the best take, and that's what you get. So
yeah, that's the old school way to do it. Then that way
it sounds
the exact same live
yeah.
when you're doing it.
Yeah, and honestly, I think I do. I think I just cut better live than I do just a pre-recorded. But yeah, we had a lot of fun doing this project, and you know, we're super excited for it to come out on the 15th of November.
Yeah.
But yeah. We're just overall excited.
That's awesome, dude. That's very exciting. So, I remember back in the day, you were big in the basketball, right? Are we still hooping? Or
every
we,
now
is
and
it
then,
hard to find time to hoop nowadays.
It is really hard to find time to hoop because you know, a lot of the places that you go, there's not a whole lot of basketball courts around, and you have to go a pretty good distance to find one. But yeah, I do miss it.
Yeah, because I remember that being like one of your things back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Was going around. The thing is about the college towns, what we got to do, we got to reach out to these colleges, and most colleges have a college basketball team.
Mm.
Get you on the court. Like, you go to Lexington, Kentucky, Mason Ramsey and Rupp Arena.
Actually, that's a cool idea. I mean,
yeah, shoot some free throws, man.
Should definitely.
Are we at the point of dunking yet?
Close. We're close.
We're getting close.
We're getting close.
See, I'm 29. I never got there. I've just accepted that I'll never be able to dunk.
Oh no.
The Lord made me a 5'9" man.
I was watching a lot of YouTube videos back in the day on, you know, for like short people like me. Too.
Yeah, like us. Yeah.
Like us. to try and dunk. And I found that a tip that helped someone, was jump roping.
Oh.
Yeah. He was jump roping for like 30 days consistently.
Wow.
For like a couple hours a day, just nothing but jump roping. And I think he ended up hurting himself.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, I think he hurt his ankle or something.
Did he end up dunking?
Yeah, actually, yes. Yes, yes, he did.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
So, I mean, I'll have to definitely try jump roping. I was never too good at it, but I feel like I could try it.
Yeah.
And get better at it.
You're more of a shooter defense kind of guy.
Yeah, so whenever I first started out playing basketball, I was only about, I want to say like 10 or 11, and I was in fourth grade. I was one of the best perimeter defenders.
Okay, lockdown.
Lockdown, yes. Yeah. I was actually I will take this and say that I was the best perimeter defender in my grade on the court.
Oh yeah.
So and then a couple months later, because I was, you know, I wasn't the greatest shooter at the time. I just kept working at it, and I just got better at it. And then you know how like you have like some days where you just like you're on fire, and then some days you just can't hit anything.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's still me to this day. So.
That's how I am on the golf course.
Oh,
you know?
Man. Oh, the golf course. I tell you what.
Yeah. What is like a day in the life of Mason Ramsey look like nowadays? Like, what do we do? What do we do for fun when we're not out on the road and we're not cutting records with the band and doing all that stuff?
Oh, well, a lot of it is just, you know, catching up with family, and you know, obviously I'm back at home. Maybe sometimes, you know, like I'll have something to do in Nashville, but when I'm not busy doing music stuff, I like to hang out with my cat back at home and play a little bit of Xbox here and there. You know, I'm kind of a gamer.
You on that Fortnite grind?
No, I'm on the Black Ops 6.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so. All right. Call of Duty kid. Call of Duty, all right. Yeah. All right.
Oh, yeah.
I respect it.
Started at a very early age, so.
Yeah, dude. No, and there's something special about having your homies in the party playing that Black Ops, bro.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're zombies.
Oh, dude, yeah.
It's fun. And actually, I've been getting good at multiplayer, so.
Okay.
Zombies was my thing for the longest time, and then, like, Cold War came out, and then I just started like grinding multiplayer because I wanted to play with my cousin and her boyfriend or husband now. But yeah, man, I've just been playing Black Ops 6 for the most part and
nice.
Enjoying it. So.
That's awesome. What's it? So I grew up very close with my grandparents as well, and I feel like. Excuse me. I feel like having grandparents involved, like your grandparents being involved in your life, is such an important thing. Like, there's nothing better than hanging out with grandma and grandpa.
Absolutely.
And it's such a special thing. So, how important have they been in your just development as a man? You know.
Well, obviously, I was very inspired by Hank Williams' music, and that all started because of my grandpa. He would always play it. Everywhere around the house and the garage and everywhere. So he's kind of the reason that that I love Hank Williams so much. He got me started on it, and then that just kind of carried me to where I am now. My grandma, she was she's very sweet. She's she kind of got tired of the whole Hank Williams stuff being played constantly, which I don't blame her. Now looking back, it was a little bit obsessive.
Yeah.
But I mean, she's great. I can tell you, every night before we went to bed, we'd always drink a cup of tea, and we'd watch TV. And we didn't have internet growing up, so we had like antenna TV and stuff like that. But yeah, I just, you know, I'd always, before I go to bed, I'd drink tea with her and just spend time with her. And Grandpa, he was, Not telling what he was doing. He was a wild man. So
what, what is wild man grandpa getting into?
I don't know.
Like cold beer drinking, honky tonking, like living a Hank Jr. Like living a Hank Williams song or what?
You could say that. He's pretty much. He loved singing. He'd do karaoke stuff.
Oh, yes. We love a karaoke grandpa. I'll tell you what.
That
PBR gets you going, getting the motor running.
Three cases later.
What were some of his go-to karaoke songs? Was it the Hank stuff?
All Hank Williams stuff. he would always sing Your Cheating Heart. Cold, Cold Heart. It was more of the down Hank Williams songs that he would always sing when he'd get to drinking, he'd start singing those songs.
Yeah.
But they're both amazing people and I love them both. I live with my aunt and uncle now, because of my music and stuff. My grandparents, they just got too old to kind of know where everything was, and they weren't really familiar with like internet and stuff, so they don't they don't know directions on how to get through Nashville. I remember one time that they were trying to go through Nashville with like this big map, and they're just like,
oh,
they're trying to
old school, like Christmas Vacation kind of stuff.
Oh yeah.
That just sounds daunting. You're just a little guy in the back seat, like.
Oh my gosh.
What kind of car were they driving back in the day?
So they've got this 2004 Dodge Ram 3500 pickup truck.
Oh, a big one. Okay, so grandma and grandpa rolling.
That, and then we've had a couple of vehicles, but they were just either parked for really stupid reasons or they just didn't want to fix them. But I mean, at one point they had this like Pontiac Sunfire convertible red from the 90s. It was a cool car. They had that, and they had this van. It was a Chevrolet van. And now they've got a couple of Ford Crown Vics, which are really cool.
Oh, nice! Yeah, we love a car with character, man.
Yeah, well, police cars, you know, they're pretty quick.
Yeah, are you driving now?
Yeah. Every now and then, I lost my license the first day of this tour that I'm on currently. So I don't have my license or my wallet. it's in Oxford, Mississippi.
Oh.
What
a place to leave it. I've been through Oxford.
Oh, man.
They're wild down there.
If anyone's at the Lyric and they go up at the dressing room.
Oxford, hottie toddy. Mason Ramsey's looking for his wallet.
Yeah, I'm looking for it. So if you find it, give it to me. It's got a $400 Jenny's ice cream gift card in there.
That's the important thing right in there, man. I know. That Jenny's ice cream will get you.
Just forget my credit card. I just want my $400 worth of Jenny's ice cream back.
Yeah. So what was it like getting the permit and finally getting, do you feel that freedom that comes with getting your license and being able to just get in the car and go?
It's quite scary. Honestly, I tried driving in Nashville and about hit like several cars.
Oh, dude, I could not imagine learning to drive here, dude.
Oh man, it is.
It's rough. 440 is like IndyCar racing, dude. That's tough. Merging.
It stresses me out so much. Oh, like, you know, like, you get, like the cold sweat or, like, just, like, you start, like, obsessively sweating just because you're, like, oh, my gosh, what do I do? And I'm, like, looking over and, like, you go and turn, like, oh, no, there's a car there. Oh, wait, I got to speed up because there's a car behind me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's quite the experience here in Nashville.
Yeah, it's I can only imagine, like, going, especially with, like, the traffic and everything. You would have been better off learning back home.
Yeah, literally, because there's not, obviously there's not a whole lot of people, therefore there's not a whole lot of traffic.
Yeah.
Everything's very easy to get to, so I do like just kind of, you know, taking my truck around town and just driving it around. It's pretty simple, pretty easy.
Yeah. What does the Mason Ramsey rider look like? And what did it look like on like those early tours, like Famous and all that, and all those days? Like what'd you have in the green room back then?
Green room.
Like what stuff was back there?
So we normally do like sun chips, like the cheddar ones, or just the ones in the blue bag, whichever ones those are.
The good ones.
The good ones. The good ones. You know. Yeah. So we do those. We do some beef jerky, some original, some teriyaki, maybe some peppered. I'm trying to think what else.
I'm saying, like, when you were young, were they like putting like game systems in there? Oh. Where there's like, what were the green rooms like as a young kid doing this stuff?
So what we did, we had this portable Xbox that we always
game changer.
Yeah, yeah. It was awesome until the screen broke. but yeah, we did that for the whole gaming system, and then for the writers back then, like. What did I have food wise?
Like, well, yeah, like just what did it like as far as like your rider, like what was on like what you're telling the venue or what they're advancing, like what's in the green room? Like some people put like a case of water, or like you said, like sun chips or like beef jerky. Was there like any stuff that like would have, because you can basically ask a venue to bring you whatever.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, I will say what I do remember. We always. And still to this day, we have Dr. Pepper and beef jerky.
Those are the essentials.
Those are the two essentials. Now, sun chips are new. Haven't always had those on the rider, but those are new. Those are good, though. And I remember Cheez-Its being on there, but I don't know. I mean...
See, Cheez-Its to me always... That's a generational like slapping. Why did Cheez-Its come off?
I don't know. I guess I just got like burnt out on them.
Just got burnt out.
The taste, just I don't know. I guess I had them so much. I mean, who knows? They might come back around. I mean, okay. I haven't had them in a little bit, so maybe if I had some, I don't know. It'd probably make me feel good again.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. We always have to have water because that's a must.
Yeah, and a case of water isn't asking for like too much. Dude.
Oh yeah.
Because you're not at the age where you're asking for like booze and stuff. You're young. No. You're still well below all that.
I don't drink, and I don't think I ever will. I'm not, you know, that's just not my thing. It never really has been. So I mean that I don't do drinking. I don't do drugs. I don't smoke. I don't chew tobacco. I don't do any of that stuff. I'm a pretty
I think that has to do with your upbringing and growing up within church and things like that.
No, it's just the people that I was surrounded by. I experienced a lot of that in my earlier life, and I just don't like it.
Yeah, it can change somebody. So I'm in May next year. I'll be hitting. It'll be 8 years or 9 years. 9 years. It was 2016. So yeah, 9 years. I have my sobriety in my arm, so I never forget it. You know.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's something about like it can change a person and change. It brings out like a demon in someone, and you affect folks around you, and you kind of lose control. So it's easier like just keeping that level head.
Yeah.
I think that's gonna help you in your artistry, and because at the end of the day, you're on the road, you're giving people a show. People are paying their hard-earned money to come and see you. You gotta give them the best version of yourself.
Absolutely, yeah. You can't be drunk upon stage and just
no.
Yeah. That's pretty much why I'm just kind of not influenced by all that stuff. I've always been. Pretty straight, clean kid. My grandma taught me well, so she always taught me to stay away from that stuff. And you know, we always went to church together, and I was just never really influenced by any of that other stuff.
Yeah.
So
makes sense. What was it like having all these, like you talk about, like back in the day being around that stuff? Like you had. Folks on the road with you that were like, I guess at the time, like big brothers who are now massive at the time, even massive artists, like getting to go and do all those opportunities and getting to meet all these huge artists that were on the radio and are still on the radio. What was that like? And was there anybody like influential in that time?
So, I mean, I,
Because that was like Tree Vibes days, right? Like around there. Like the FGL. Yeah. I'm thinking like the FGL tree, like back in the day.
Yeah.
It's like I've had Red Farron on here and he's told some stories about like 2013, 2014, Ooh. 2015, like back in those days.
Yeah. So this was back because my career got started back
You were 18. Yeah. So it was a little bit later.
Back in 18. Wow. That's a long time ago. But yeah, I mean, I've been, on stage with FGL. I've met everyone from Justin Bieber to Morgan Wallen. Hardy.
Yeah, like early Wallen now. And Hardy too.
Yeah, yeah. Ernest, pretty cool. I've got to know them all from connections that I had, and they're pretty cool guys.
Yeah.
Say.
What advice have you gotten? Like any advice that's kind of stuck with you from someone that's older and been in it for a while?
I mean, I definitely, with Ernest, I've seen a lot of things that I probably shouldn't do on tour. I won't say a lot of those things. I mean,
just advice from like getting to meet, like say like the Tim McGraws or like the people that are like the heritage acts that like you grew up listening to, like even like the 90s, 2000s guys that you run into when you're first getting to town.
Well, I have had advice is, always stay humble and remember where you came from and things like that, that have really just stuck with me because, my town, it's not very big and it's, it is what it is. And it was a great place to grow up and I enjoyed it a lot, but that's mainly the stuff that I've got advice wise. And some of it, some of it is more music advice on like...
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. Like career advice and that kind of thing.
Like just, stick with what you're doing, man. You're people tell me that I'm doing awesome all the time. And, I'm very thankful that they actually get what I'm doing. And I'm just trying to do something different. My producer actually right now, he's great at just like coaching me and like telling me, really just helping me write and become an even better songwriter. So, I give thanks to him as well.
Yeah. And I got to talk about this. I'll see you in my dreams record, dude. Cause I've been jamming it, getting ready for this, like I know all the old stuff from back in the day from Famous and Twang and all that stuff, but it's like to see where you're at now, it's like, this is Mason Ramsey, the artist now, this Absolutely. Is where you're making these decisions. Like you're a little bit older, like you mature over time and everything. And it seems like this record's a good reflection of that. Like Blue Over You was the big track from that, right?
Yes.
That you guys were pushing. But then you have songs like The Woman from Havana.
Mm-hmm.
You have horns in that thing, dude. I feel like I'm sitting down at the Key West Songwriters Festival smoking a cigar, bro. It just feels so great. But a lot of these songs, like you're talking about like more mature topics than you were talking about at a younger age. Is a lot of it coming from like personal experiences? Is it just songs that you love, or what's all that been like?
I mean, a lot of it, actually all of it tells a story in its own way. Blue Over You, I'll take for instance. I had this girl that I was hanging out with, about a year ago around this time. And I got to know her very well, and I started getting feelings for her, and she told me she didn't feel the same, and, this was, when she told me, it was in I believe, either January or February, but it was about a week before I went in to go write my next song, and I started gathering ideas on what I wanted to write about, and, well... I wrote Blue Over You about her and my experience with her. So,
yeah, it's important to have those real stories in there because it's something obviously you're singing and writing about something, and it's almost like therapy. It's like journaling, but you're Absolutely. Getting to share your pages of your journal with the world, and folks can relate to that. I also love how you started with, I'll see you in my dreams, and then all I see is you. Like, it's two, like, visions of looking at someone from beginning to end.
Yeah.
Was that done on purpose?
Honestly, just kind of the layout for it. I felt like that just kind of set the tone for the album. I was looking for more of the classical feel, and I feel like with starting with I'll See You in My Dreams just kind of helps set the tone for the rest of the record. And then I'll See You in My Dreams is kind of a more mature ending for my next project, because it'll kind of lead into the same thing. But I had some help, you know, putting all that together, but I definitely wanted to start with I'll See You in My Dreams and then end with All I See Is You.
That's awesome, dude. That's awesome, man. It's exciting to get to see, like, to see where, and it's like you say that 6 years ago, like 2018, it's a long time ago, and I'm sure it feels like lives ago. Like, you've lived a few different lives within 6 years, and you're still only 17 years old.
It feels like a long time, but you know, I've had so much fun, you know, experiencing everything that that has happened to me, and you know, obviously I had a down section where COVID hit, and
how old are you? So you're, that's 2 years. So you're,
I would have just turned 13 going into
13 during the pandemic, bro.
Yeah. My voice hadn't changed yet, but it was getting there. And honestly, there could have not been a better time for my voice to change, honestly.
Yeah. But you have that little break, because then you're figuring out what to do.
It's so funny too, because I remember like coming back for a show after the pandemic. It was, I believe, September the 16th of 2022. I was doing a show in Washington, D.C. And I, like a week before doing the show, I could not flip my voice or do the yodel thing that I used to be able to do. And I was just trying everything. I just nonstop just kept trying. And eventually, I got it. I got sick and got it. I got my yodel back, and a week later, I was able to do the flip, and it was like, there's younger Mason, here's me now.
Yeah, so do you still do that within the shows now?
I do. I don't do the whole yodeling thing anymore, but I will say, though, that doing the flip is pretty much the same thing as yodeling. You're just not doing the yodeling.
What's a flip?
So the flip is when you go from one range of your voice over a bridge and into the other range of your voice. Okay. So you go from your low end mid range to your more high end voice.
So what is that?
There's a bridge.
What does that yodely, sound
like? Yodely, yodely. Yeah, that stuff, you know. I just do it naturally, you know.
Yeah. That's awesome. I love that. That's so cool.
I'm surprised I can still do it. I haven't really
Yeah, like, minute, because but. You have folks that knew you from, that got introduced to you back in 2018 and fell in love with songs like Fame, and fell in love with the boy, Mason Ramsey. Now you're the man, Mason Ramsey. You're the man, Mason. Well, and it's like, you to have that in your set where it's like, how many of those old songs do you mix in there when now you've got a whole body of work?
I mean, I have a couple of things that, like I said, we're doing for next year. Actually, we're putting out this Christmas EP, and then at the top of the year we have a big surprise coming.
I love surprises. That's awesome.
So I'm not gonna say what it is, but
yeah. Well, then it wouldn't be a surprise. So we'll all stay tuned and stay dialed in on the social media.
I think the OG fans will be very happy.
Okay. Like, all right, Trey Bonner over there is gonna be very happy. He's OG fan right there.
It's not the love sick thing. No, yeah. It's not that. It's not Before I Knew It.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is definitely a big surprise, and we're super excited. We have, like I said, another project that we're working on, which is why we're writing so much.
Yeah.
And then maybe another tour.
Okay.
But, you know, we'll see.
Sick. Yeah, you're actually, I'm looking up your dates right here. I love how Spotify has, like, oh, you're going to some of my favorite rooms. You've probably been there before.
Oh, yeah.
Warehouse 2565, Grand Junction, Colorado, bro. You're going there. You're actually there this week. You're on the 14th.
I've never been there before. I don't think.
They're fun out there. That's a fun. And Colorado's fun because it's like, what are you riding out in? Are you in a bus right now? You in a van?
So I'm flying out because it's going to take my bus and my crew to get to get out there. It's going to take them 2 days.
Yeah,
so they're leaving
tonight.
Yeah. Because the bus people can only drive within like 10 hours. Yes.
Well, but you'll be riding from there to Albuquerque. Do you ride in the bus from there to Albuquerque?
I believe so.
Okay. So when you're going through Colorado, dude, there's always, I don't know how often you sit up in that front jump seat, but going through Colorado is beautiful.
Oh, dude. I know.
I've been over the years
in the spring,
but riding through those, especially this time of year when it's getting into the fall, into the winter, like just going through those mountains, you feel like you're in another world. So yeah. I would highly recommend sitting in that jump seat. I don't know who your bus driver is. Bus drivers are always best, dude. Do you have a cool bus driver?
I believe so. Yes.
We've
actually been switching bus drivers.
Okay. Yeah.
We've had a couple different bus drivers because of the companies that we were renting out of. But we had some issues with our bus breaking down, and actually one
you had a fire bus.
Yeah, it run all my, well, I didn't run them, but it run a lot of things on the bus.
Yeah.
And I had to get all my clothes dry cleaned within a day my next show. So
oh, no. That's the road, though, dude. Stuff just happens.
Road. That's the road. You got to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Because without those moments, you know, that, it just adds more fun. So just the memories and stuff.
Yeah.
It was definitely an experience.
Yeah. I've been through looking at some of these dates. Have you been to the Rave Eagle Club before in Milwaukee? Milwaukee.
The Rave?
What's it called? Yeah, the Rave. Milwaukee.
Wait. Wait a minute.
December 7th.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. I'm looking right here. December 7th, the Rave Eagles Club. Oh, Saturday, wow. December 7th.
That's awesome. Yeah, I played back there in 2019 and 2018.
I did
two different stages, I believe.
Yeah, they've got like four or five different stages in there. And that's the one. Have you been on the Ghost Tour? Have you been down to the pool?
Oh, yeah. I've been down to the boiler rooms.
Oh, you went far into it. You're into the ghost spooky stuff.
There's only a couple people that were allowed down there.
Yeah, you have to be. I never made it to the boiler room. I've been in the pool, but I haven't been in the boiler room.
I've been to the pool and the boiler room.
Are you big into ghost stuff and all that? Do you enjoy all that?
I think that they are real.
Yeah, I do too.
I think that some of them present themselves to be to be demons. I don't think, of course, now I'm getting into the whole conspiracy stuff.
Oh, you're good.
I probably should not do that.
Hey, we get in whatever, as long as we get the okay over there, we're good. The Rave Eagle Club's wild, though, because, you know, the story of, like, what across the street and, you know, the whole story of the building and everything? The hotel across the street, it was one of Jeffrey Dahmer's spots. I don't know if you're familiar with Jeffrey
Dahmer.
It's been
so long ago since I've...
Okay.
You know, so done the tour. So I don't really remember everything I went over, but I remember the pool and I remember that there being underground tunnels.
Yeah, so that connects to the hotel across the street. Oh, wow. And that was where people would bring people back and bad things would happen. Oh. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So there's like an energy to that building. So when you go back now, I gotta know how your experience is and if you make it back into the boiler room.
Oh yeah. I remember.
Did you get chills in there and stuff?
They said that there's like a chair down there that it's in one spot one night and then the next night it's in a different spot. And there's only like two people allowed to go down there.
Yeah.
When we went down there, there was no chair at all.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
We'll have to go see if there's a chair down there.
So, yeah.
That'll be cool. But yeah, you've got some great dates coming up all the way through. The rest of the year, Dallas, Tulsa, Wichita, Madison, yeah. Milwaukee, Minnesota, or Minneapolis, Sioux Falls. I love Biggs Bar. That's another good spot. Seattle. You're going coast to coast.
Oh, yeah. We're going from east to west.
So you've been touring all year.
This year I've been the busiest that I've been since probably 2019. Probably way far busier.
Since honestly. BC. I like to call that BC before COVID.
Yeah.
BC. Yeah, you know, the olden days, the old times, man. But it's gonna be so cool now to get to go out and tour. Has it been cool recently to go out and tour this record that came out?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I've had a lot of fun. I'm doing this the meet and greets and stuff before the shows.
What are those like for you, man? What are the Mason? How's the Mason Ramsey fan club doing?
Getting to know the people is just, you know, it's fun. I enjoy meeting people and, you know. Yeah, you know, getting to know them real well and talking to them for a little bit and taking pictures, signing autographs. But before we do all that, we'll sing them a couple of songs.
Okay, so it's like a little VIP experience. Yeah, the pre-show stuff.
It's really fun. And then sometimes before that, if we're like in a really not even a big college town, but just like a college town in general, we'll just take stops to sororities or, you know, fraternities.
Oh, cool.
Which we did the last show on the last run in Fayetteville, Arkansas. So,
I like Fayetteville. Was that George's Majestic out there?
I mean, it was
George's Majestic, the club out in Fayetteville, where you played.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. I like that room too. Arkansas is fun.
I had to think of that for a second because it's been a week.
Dude, when you're on the road, dude, there's
so many places.
It just blends together, doesn't it?
I don't know how.
I just remember
how people do it.
I'm just a sick former tour manager. We're like, I can remember this happened at this date and we had to fix this issue on stage and whatever. Like, I just have one of those kind of memories. But yeah, it all kind of blends together, man. Oh, one week to another, you pack your bag, you load up, you get done, you do your laundry real quick, and then you pack up to go out again on Wednesday, dude.
Yeah, absolutely. It's quite the thing for me. Yeah. We're staying at Airbnbs right now because we don't have a place in Nashville anymore. We ended up selling it to buy a house in Texas for my aunt and uncle. But we're planning on not this year, but next year in the spring, we're planning on buying a house somewhere. But it'll be fun.
That'd be cool. What's something that you would tell 11-year-old? The world is starting to find out Mason Ramsey now being the developed, mature 17-year-old, soon to be 18-year-old that you are. You got your birthdays coming up, right?
Yeah, I have my birthday is coming up on the 16th, I believe.
So it's right there. Dang, so you're gonna be.
What is today? I don't even know what today.
Today?
Is.
Oh, so you're gonna be on the road on your birthday?
Yeah,
exciting.
Yeah, I'm gonna be in Phoenix.
Valley Bar. Gonna be sick.
So
that's gonna be cool. But what would you tell that young boy in the cowboy hat that the world is just enthralled by? Like, what advice would you give him now? Fast forward 6 years, 7 years, whatever it's been since that moment.
Well, I would say, you know, just always stay motivated. You know, and always love what you do and just keep going. Don't stop for nothing. No matter what happens, just keep going. I think 11-year-old me, I think he could definitely handle that. So
that's awesome.
I mean, I wasn't, you know, I was just singing. I didn't know nothing. I just cared about music and that was my focus.
Yeah. That was your life.
Yeah.
And that's been your life now for 6 years, and you get to do it professionally.
Well, it's been my life for 14 years.
Oh.
Because I started singing at 3.
Oh, wow.
So I didn't get into the industry until the age of 11, but it's always been something that I've wanted to do.
So it's what you know?
It's what I know. It's all I know. I don't know anything else, man. Just here.
That's awesome, man. Well, hey, I'm very excited for this Christmas project to be coming out. Congrats. Happy early birthday.
Well, thank you.
18 years old. What can you do at 18? I'm trying to remember what you can do at 18.
You can only vote and you can join the military.
You just missed it.
And maybe sue someone, but I don't have any need to do that.
You don't have any reason to do that.
Buy a lottery ticket.
Oh, that's what we got to do. You got to get a scratcher.
Oh, man. No.
Just a scratcher.
No. I'm good. I'm not gonna waste my money on that.
You're so wise beyond your years, dude.
Money's only temporary, man. It's only temporary.
Yeah, you're wise beyond your years, bro. That's awesome, man. Well, dude, it was a pleasure having you on here. Welcome to the Rays Rowdy family as well, dude.
Thank you.
We'll hook you up. We got a bunch of hats and stuff over there, and anything we can ever do with you, or you need help, whatever, with us, we're always down. We host a bunch of events here in town, and big fans of what you do, and excited for what this current chapter that we're in this next chapter with the big surprises coming at the top of the year, dog. And everybody can find you. It's just search Mason Ramsey at everything, right?
Yeah, absolutely. MasonRamsey.com is my official website. You can go to the Mason Ramsey on my TikTok, and then I think it's the Mason Ramsey on my Instagram. Just Mason Ramsey on my Instagram. But you'll see me. I'm verified. Yeah.
Verified. And you didn't pay for your check mark. You earned it.
Luckily.
Well, dude, thank you so much, Mason Ramsey, for coming on. Y'all be sure to check out I'll See You in My Dreams. It's out now, the full album. And then be on the lookout. Merry Christmas, baby. Kick into the holiday season, taking us in there. And be on the lookout for some big surprises. And visit MasonRamsey.com. Go out and get you some concert tickets and get out there and see Mason and the boys on the road. Thank you guys, as always, for watching, listening, tuning in. Be sure to, like I said, give Mason a follow if you aren't already, and visit RaysRowdy.com for more on us. For my man Mason, I'm Matt Barrill. This has been Outside the Round.
I ain't never been the kind for staying one place for too long. I ain't never been the best at saying I love you to a girl I love. Only got a couple tricks up my sleeve. They usually just make them leave. So if you